God has given us, excuse me, a way of obeying him and learning his way. We all in this room have the desire to be in God's kingdom, right? And be called a child of God. And it seems like it is so difficult to accomplish. God's instructions to those he is calling is very simple. In theory, right? You see, we are the ones responsible for making it a joyful journey or a difficult process, helping determine the comfort or stress of this process rests on our relationship with our great God. We all like the blessings that we receive from God, yet we all have an obligation to fulfill in order to receive those blessings. It is a process that takes a lifetime. When we're baptized, all our sins and everything just didn't vanish and go away. Believe me, as soon as you came up out of the water, there they were, staring in the face. It's a process that we have to get rid of them. Sometimes it's a lifetime of struggles on our part. This process is called conversion, to change and go a different direction in our lives. We're given instructions, an outline, or a guideline, if you will, in the book of Matthew. If you turn with me, please, to chapter 6. I'm going to go to verse 33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." These things are not all our wants and desires. They're our needs. We need food, we need water, we need clothing, we need shelter. Those things will be added to us. It doesn't mean you're going to get the new Cadillac or, you know, the $500,000 home. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about our needs. Here he was speaking during the Sermon on the Mount and had given valuable instructions in how we should conduct ourselves. Why does it seem that we have such a difficult time with this conversion? For one thing, we have to deal with human nature. We all have human nature. That's what we're seeing right now, having a human nature out there. It's not very good. We can call this enmity or dislike for God's law, or an enemy of God's nature. You see, this puts a barrier between us and God. Proverbs 21:2 tells us, we won't turn there, but I've got it here, but every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Proverbs 16:25 tells us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, we have a problem right from the beginning. Yet God has made it possible to have the help we need to overcome our sins and grow in his truth and knowledge. This is made possible by receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just 50 days ago, during the days of unleavened bread, we were instructed to count 50 days from the day after the Sabbath to figure the Feast of Pentecost, when the apostles would receive the helper that was promised. This brings us to today, right now. I will be paraphrasing most of this out of our study book, God's Holy Day Plan, The Promise of Hope for All Mankind. I would suggest that if you have these at home, a lot of people have them in their library, to dust it off and read it, or pick one up in the back. On that first Pentecost after Jesus Christ was crucified, the apostles came together and was commanded, as commanded, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. There were 120 believers. Well, how many are we here about? How many do we have here? 28? That's about, say, about four times as many as we have right here. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of the church. We are the beginning of something wonderful as well. While they were together, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, one set on each one of them. Can you imagine one on each one of them? Just look around. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other tongues, languages, not just gibberish that most people think it is. Just, that's not it. They were speaking in languages people could understand. Let's turn to Acts 2. As soon as I find it. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are all these not who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, excuse my pronunciation, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." Now that's, we've all, at one time or another, visited some place where people speak a different language. And if we were there, all of a sudden somebody speaking in our language, we'd notice it. I had the opportunity when my youngest son was married to go to Mexico. Nobody spoke English, but my wife and I and our son and his wife. And my wife and I were sitting there one day, and all of a sudden some woman comes in and says, "Hi, my name is Mrs. So-and-so." Mrs. is an English word. Our ears perked up. We know who this is, you know. It's an awesome thing when you hear it. Now Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking of a future time, boldly exclaimed the event to the crowd as a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. I just have it in my notes here, but, "And it shall come to pass in the last days," it's talking about them, but it's also talking about later days yet, "says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Acts 22:17 and Joel 2:28. Just write those down in your notes. Acts tells us that Peter said to those listening how they could receive this Spirit. Acts 2:38 and 39 tell us, "Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's a gift. It's not something you go down into store and buy. It's a gift. "For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off on down through history, as many as the Lord our God will call." And that day, about 300 people were added to the church. 3,000 people were added to the church. So why do we need this Holy Spirit? Well, it seems that no matter how hard we try not to, we will still sin. I'm not going to go there, but reference 1 Kings 8:46 and Romans 3:23. I'll go to Romans 3:23. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among his people. Those are people who won't listen. Acknowledging this inherent weakness of humanity, God lamented in Deuteronomy 5:29, "Oh, that they would have such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Most of us here in here have children, or have know somebody that do have children. We want it to be well with them. Many of us wish our children were still going to church, and they're not, but there's always hope for them. As we've seen through the years, people have left the church and come back. That's a good sight when you see it happen. God explains that humankind has a heart problem. Academic knowledge of the law does not enable us to think like God. Becoming godly in our thoughts, attitudes, and actions is beyond comprehension and the ability of men and women. Without that additional ingredient, God's Spirit. God's way of thinking produces peace, happiness, and concern for others. Jesus complimented a religious scholar who correctly quoted the essence of God's law. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." We don't see that going on right now, do we? Around this world. Loving God, loving your neighbor is not burning homes down, businesses down. It's helping build them up. Because God's Spirit was now dwelling in the church, its members could express genuine love. "A new commandment I give to you," Jesus had said, "that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples." God's gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost made possible for the church to be fully express God's commandments of love. The same Holy Spirit enables us to, as it says in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.